on September 16th at aladdin-theater.com. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. The time is 9:59. Coming up at 10 o'clock is Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre.
The KBOO Board of Directors elections are underway. KBOO members can vote for up to 4 candidates. Ballots were mailed in mid-August. If you think you are a KBOO member and have not received a ballot, email Membership Director Andrew Geller at membership@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032, extension 207. Non-members can join KBOO and receive a ballot to vote. Just go to kboo.fm and click Donate on the top right-hand corner. The annual meeting is Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center at 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. You can mail back your ballot or bring it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Ballots must be postmarked by September 10th or cast at the annual meeting by 2:40 p.m. to count. Get informed, get involved, and vote. Thanks.
Hi, this is Ren Green with the latest episode of my KBOO podcast, Experience Points. This week, I talk with bipolar peer support specialist Gina Wheeler about mental illness and peer counseling.
I just want everybody that has a mental illness to know that there is more out there than just that medical model, that there's hope, there's help, there's support. And tapping into that community, you can really find how to live your life and not just survive.
To hear the whole interview, go to kboo.fm and search for Bipolar DBT Peer Counseling Oh My.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is...
Tune in to The Dirt Bag every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Learn to grow your tasty fruits and vegetables in your home garden.
There is a monthly garden stumper, calendar of gardening events. You can even call in with your gardening questions.
That's The Dirt Bag every second Wednesday, 11 to 12 a.m. That's on KBOO
Portland.
Listen, laugh, learn.
The farmer is the man that feeds them all.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 11th. That's right, it's rolled around again, 2013. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Kicking it all off, despite well over a decade of county payments, there has still been little to no effort by rural counties or elected officials, for that matter, to move past timber toward long-term economic solutions. Ron Wyden is at the center of this, and it's going to be up to him to decide the future of Oregon's forests. And the administration is scrambling to wrap its tiny American mind around the cascade of events issuing from Syria, more or less being carried downstream towards the ultimate Niagara Falls at a brisk clip. And Right to Dream 2 has, thanks to Amanda Fritz, has a solution. But at the same time, we can do better. Anybody who has driven down Grand Avenue and then made that turn to get on the Morrison Bridge knows about this little encampment there. About 10, maybe more people who are living there. That's not that's not the way we should be caring for our weakest members as a society. And let's not forget, with the news coming out of Syria constantly changing and being examined from many different perspectives, as we still have the Keystone XL to keep in mind, as well as the even more secret Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations. They've dug deeper underground, and we're hearing less and less, and it's harder and harder to get information about what's actually happening, a measure of how disastrous this particular agreement would eventually turn out to be. That said, moving on, the weather today. It's obviously sunny and very, very hot. Highs around 94, calm winds. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows around 63. For tomorrow, again, clear skies and a bit cooler. Highs near 88. And for tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Lows around 62. And moving on to our alternative forecast, we have a first quarter leaf moon in Scorpio. The moon is 6 days old. Synodic forecast, it's a good time to sow vegetables that produce internal seed-bearing fruits. That's about all they have to say on that measure, by which I would imagine that we're talking about winter gardening. Many people do continue to grow food all throughout the winter. It's all a question of where you aim the warmth and the light throughout the shortened days. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Scorpio, it's a water sign. It's a good time to sow leaf plants. Not so good for fruiting plants. And moving on to the sidereal, they say that with the moon in Scorpio, it's an excellent time for planting germination and a sturdy growth. And that's it for both the alternative and conventional forecasts. We're going to go straight into Cascadia, at the very heart of Cascadia, a topic that we've spoken of frequently on Air Cascadia. 13 years after the Secure Rural Schools and Self-Determination Act, the federal government is ready to cut off subsidies to counties for good. Let's not forget, a lot of these people are staunch Republicans, and therefore one would have imagined they would be all for pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. However, they have shown a marked preference for having the federal government's bootstraps being involved. We're speaking this morning with Barks, Brenna Bell. She's a staff attorney there. And there are a number of things going on right now. And at the very center of all of this is Ron Wyden. And we want to make sure people do make that very critical phone call, 503-326-7525. And we'll be giving that out again throughout this conversation, because now is a very important time to reach out to Wyden and remind him of what Oregon's going to look like if we clear-cut the whole thing. Good morning, Brenna. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us back.
Well, I guess I'll just say it. I've ranted about this for a long time. You would think this is supposed to be going for schools to educate people. My God, what happens? What's up with that? No, apparently they haven't learned very much about forests, trees, and the preservation of life as we know it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, one of the things that we're so perpetually shocked and confused by is that Ron Wyden and Peter DeFazio and others are proposing a solution that's about 30 years old or older for a problem that's current. Like, the focus on increasing logging on already really damaged federal forests to secure money for counties, especially ones that haven't built sustainable local economies, not looking at exploiting natural resources, is a very old idea that has not worked. You know, it's not an environmental problem necessarily that decreased the timber dollars in the counties in the 80s. It's that the market fell out of the timber economy, and also that they mechanized the industry. So there's far fewer jobs to be had, even if they were cutting at the same levels. However, there's not even the market for the timber that they're proposing to cut. We're seeing across the board in Oregon, many federal timber sales go without bids. There aren't mills to even bid on them or the market for them because our economy doesn't require that wood. One of the scariest things we've seen is them proposing to lift the export ban on raw logs from federal forests to ship these raw logs without any milling directly to the markets in Asia. So we don't know a lot about the details of Wyden's bill, but what we do know is that he's focused on a solution that hasn't worked in the past, and the local watersheds and local forests simply cannot sustain that level of harvest into the future. So really we're looking to them to be the champion of a solution that moves us forward rather than is regressing into, you know, something that never really worked in the past.
Thank you so much for that. That absolutely lays it out on the line. You would think that after all this time that these rural communities would have figured out another way of maintaining their social structures other than logging out, cutting every last tree. It's just extraordinary that we're still talking about this. That number to call again is 503-326-7525.
Actually, I believe it's 236-7525.
Is it? Oh, let's see. I've got a press release. Oh, well, that's from the website, but I'll check again. We'll clarify that.
But you can also, people, if they're interested, all of this information and more about the history of the Oregon and California Land Act, about what's going on right now, is all on BARC's website, as well as Wyden's number, if you want to go to that, which is bark-out.org. And we advise people to really be paying attention, because this is one of the biggest things that's happened in a long time. And what Wyden's doing now could set a national precedent for senators messing with federal environmental laws to fix their local economic problems. And that is not the precedent we want the chair of the Senate's Natural Resources Committee to be creating for other people. He is threatening to decrease the protections from the National Environmental Policy Act, from the Endangered Species Act, from the Clean Water Act, all for a local economic solution. And
those people don't vote for him anyway, you know. I mean, there's not even a political reason to do this. It's outrageous. Britta, thank you so much. We're completely out of time. We're going to make sure that people, listeners, have all that information, the BARC website, as well as the correct number to reach Senator Ron Wyden. Thanks again for that. We've been speaking with Britta Bell. She's a staff attorney at BARC. Out there, they're at extraordinary times that we live in, and a big decision is coming. You can be part of it. Make the, you know, get on the horn and talk to elected representatives. And that's moving on to we're very, very fortunate this morning to have Matthew Lee with Inner City Press joining us again from the United Nations, where events are happening so quickly right now and so slowly, it would seem, at the same time, that it's difficult to sometimes to keep up. It's certainly full of surprises. We're very pleased to welcome you back to the KBOO Airwaves, Matthew.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
Well, so we have, of course, Ban Ki-moon seems to have finally been raised from his slumber and apparently is rallying to serve the United States interests. He gave a speech in honor of Ambassador Samantha Power. Can you tell me, please, why this is not particularly helpful in the current context?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. As I'm sure your listeners heard, you know, the President Obama came out and said, you know, we before even the UN has issued its report on this chemical weapons incident of August 21st, he said, we know who did it, and we have the right, without any UN Security Council approval, to fire missiles. So this has been the U.S.'s position, and people expected, as, you know, even Kofi Annan did during the Iraq with George Bush, him to be more forceful in saying, you know, this is, you know, we're the UN. Instead, it's been a very kind of obsequious approach in which basically in any way, you know, we can speed up the report for you. There was a very, just now I came from a briefing in which it was said, you know, but he loved Obama's speech last night. And so the telling sign here is, I mean, Samantha Power, I read her book long before she was ambassador. I liked the book a lot. The current incarnation, though, is just a series of talking points to justify missile strikes on Syria. And it's a little, it doesn't seem to have any kind of historical There have been other, you know, mass killings in recent years. For example, in Sri Lanka, the U.S. did nothing. So when you hear, I personally, when I hear these statements, I take, you know, death very seriously. But to say this is the one case, everything must stop, let's fire a missile, we have the proof. Many diplomats here at the U.N. haven't been convinced yet. They invited them to go to the U.S. mission. I interviewed many of them on the way out, and they said they're not convinced by it. So, again, some people will never be convinced, but many of the people I spoke to that weren't convinced are, not, are people that are probably amenable to being convinced, but they haven't been. So just saying that we have the proof is probably not enough. So it's a fast and, as you put it, slow-moving game here, but it's one in which the U.N. is not providing any kind of counterpoint to the U.S.'s desires.
And as you pointed out, too, that how on earth could any United Nations peacekeeping effort accomplish anything in a war zone, especially, what are they going to do, a bomb, a chemical weapons facility? Oh, that would be great.
I don't know if how many of your viewers have heard about it, but, I mean, UN peacekeeping, for example, in Haiti, I'm not against the UN, but I will say, like, they have a peacekeeping mission in Haiti. It pretty clearly, it was proved to have brought cholera to the island. They've never fessed up to it. So it's almost like, first, the U.S. was going to do it without any U.N. Now that the U.N. is proving itself to be so amenable to be used, I can imagine some kind of an incursion under the blue beret of the U.N., but I can't really see the U.N. being the one to be the muscle behind it. So it's kind of a renting international legitimacy from a secretariat that's far too willing to rent it out.
Mercy, thank you so much for that. We're very happy to have you back on the program again. We'd like to invite you back later in the week also as things develop.
More after. I'm also learning about some lumber issues when I'm on hold. I'm really glad to do it. I like it. The local is the global, you know?
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Matthew Lee.